President Biden headed to Pittsburgh today to talk about his proposal for rebuilding America's infrastructure and economy, calling it the American Jobs Plan. It's the week in Washington. We'll look at what we know about the plan and its future in Congress. Plus, we'll look at the administration's response to pressure about how it's handling the border with Mexico. And we'll check out the president's first slate of federal judicial nominees. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How big a deal is a big federal infrastructure deal to you? What questions do you have about how the president's priorities fit into this proposal, how he thinks it can be funded? What would you like to see congressional representatives talk about when they get a chance to work on this package? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. Amanda Turkle is Washington Bureau Chief for HuffPost. Amanda, welcome back to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me.
All right, we have another big price tag item here on this federal package, about $2 trillion. That's over the course of a decade or so. Can you talk about the broad strokes of this plan as far as we know it?
Sure. So this is the White House's infrastructure plan. And it is, you know, sort of the biggest chunk. About $600 billion is going to go for transportation, with a lot of it going to the electric vehicle market. But there's a lot more in here. There's money for broadband, upgrading U.S. power infrastructure, money for schools, community colleges, childcare facilities, safer drinking water. This plan is, I think that you talk to people on both sides of the aisle, and they say that they agree that America's infrastructure, roads, bridges, and things like that, not only do you create jobs by investing money in this, but they're just badly in need of repair. I mean, I think any of us who go on like a long trip can just see the roads and bridges and everything like that, that they're just crumbling and need updating. And this is something that Obama wanted to do, Trump wanted to do, but they just haven't been able to sort of get enough votes to really push through an ambitious package. And so Biden's obviously going to have a tough time too. He's already getting quite a bit of resistance from Republicans, particularly about how it would be paid for. And he's getting some pushback from some Democrats who say that it honestly doesn't go far enough for what they would like to see.
Let's look at each of those concerns. First of all, how it's paid for. The Biden plan, the administration is hoping for some tax increases, I believe, on corporations. What kind of things are they looking for here?
Yeah, so like you said, they're looking to increase taxes on corporations. They would give the IRS more enforcement power to sort of, right now the IRS often does not sort of go after people who don't pay their taxes. The minimum tax on corporations would increase from 21%. Sorry, the increase, the corporate tax rate would go from 21% to 28%, plus what they're calling a global minimum tax. Corporate inversions to tax havens would be made more difficult. Tax breaks and subsidies to the fossil fuel industry would end. The stepped up enforcement from the IRS on corporations who aren't paying their taxes. So, this is not hitting sort of poor Americans, working Americans as much. This is going after corporations and higher income Americans. Republicans are saying this is a non-starter. They are not in favor of increasing taxes. The Chamber of Commerce has also come out against this, and they've actually been fairly supportive of a lot of what Biden has done, even though they are traditionally lean more Republican and more conservative. So Republicans don't like the tax part of this, but they also say that some of this in here, the investments in childcare, education, for example, just aren't what they consider infrastructure. And they don't think they should be in this bill, and that it's becoming a grab bag of Democratic priorities. Although I think that if you talk to the Biden administration, they have sort of a larger view of what infrastructure is, and that includes human infrastructure and those building blocks that we need to keep the society running.
Talking to Amanda Turkle, Washington Bureau Chief for HuffPost, looking at the top stories in national politics today, including right now an infrastructure proposal being presented publicly today by President Biden in Pittsburgh. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Are there things in this that you support? Are there things you want to see when it comes to infrastructure spending? What do you think of that idea of thinking beyond roads and bridges and such and looking at things like childcare, rebuilding schools? Do you see that as an important part of infrastructure? Is it worth it to you to increase enforcement of and rates of corporate taxation, at least to help pay for this? Or do you not like that idea? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Amanda, you said there were some Democrats who say this maybe doesn't go far enough. What kind of things were they hoping for that isn't here, or at least in this current package?
Sure. So they particularly want to see more when it comes to spending on the climate crisis. Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, obviously an outspoken progressive from New York, said that, you know, Biden is investing, Biden wants far more than other presidents have invested in the climate crisis. But she and others are saying that's not enough. The Congressional Progressive Caucus wants $10 trillion in federal infrastructure spending over the next decade, which is obviously more than Biden's entire infrastructure plan that he's putting forward. So, you know, they're not probably going to get that much, because I think that price tag would alarm a lot of Republicans and more moderate Democrats. But there are a lot of environmental activists who are a little disappointed with this, because Biden has put addressing the climate crisis at the center of his administration and said it is such a priority. But, you know, this is obviously, again, more than we've had in the past. But so I'm not sure if it will be enough for some of these progressive members to actually vote against it.
This is just one part of what the Biden administration has been talking about since the American Rescue Plan. There's also an anticipated second bill that looks at things like child care, family tax credits, other domestic, less infrastructure-y priorities. This one with tax hikes on wealthy individuals now and families as opposed to corporations. Do we have a timeline and when we might see more details on that?
That will be coming out in the coming weeks. And like you said, that focuses more on sort of the human capital part of it. And, you know, this will also get quite a bit of pushback from Republicans, and also, honestly, from some more moderate Democrats who say that the focus needs to be put on infrastructure and not all of these other liberal priorities. You know, what will be interesting is obviously both of these are important to the Biden administration and they sort of see them together. But, you know, getting one of them through the House and the Senate will be tough. Will they be able to get both? And if not, which one are they going to prioritize? Are they going to try to push them together as a package? Are they going to try to do this through reconciliation, which would require just a majority of votes in the Senate? Or will they go through a more traditional process that would require the 60 votes, meaning they would have to get some Republicans on board? The Biden administration has not talked about their legislative strategy yet publicly, and Democrats seem to want to do something aggressively, perhaps through reconciliation, but we don't know which bill will get priority.
If the goal was to do the normal way, a 60-vote majority required in the Senate, is there any sense that there's appetite from enough Republicans to do, I don't know, anything vaguely resembling what we're hearing today from the president?
No, there isn't, especially with the tax component, you know, how they would pay for this. Again, you could maybe get, you know, one or two Republicans who might be willing to be on board, you know, fixing things like roads and bridges and all that, especially for members of Congress, tends to be very popular in districts. Again, this creates a lot of jobs. Members of Congress like to go to ribbon cuttings and show that they brought these projects back for their districts. But, you know, the Senate, I think, would be really, really tough to get this through. And I think Democrats recognize that they would have to make some major concessions on what's included or how it's paid for. And, you know, the question is, would doing that then compromise some Democratic votes and make them lose some Democrats that they need?
We're talking to Amanda Turkle from HuffPost. It's the Week in Washington. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you want to see a big infrastructure program as proposed by President Biden make it through Congress? Should Democrats aggressively push for that, maybe even using this reconciliation tactic so they could do it if they had all 50 Democrats without any Republicans in the Senate. Is there something that should be a priority? Do you want it to be just about roads and bridges, or do you like the idea of expanding the concept of infrastructure in this plan? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with HuffPost Washington Bureau Chief Amanda Turkle. It's the week in Washington. We're looking at the top stories in national politics, including the president's plan for infrastructure development. Let's bring on a caller at 800-642-1234. Joe is with us in Sheboygan. Joe, hi.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What'd you want to bring up, Joe?
Well, thanks for having me on. As far as the infrastructure, I think it's a good idea to keep it to infrastructure, you know, roads, bridges, what have you. As far as start putting all these other programs that have nothing to do with it, it's going to put more, it's problematic as far as having the Republicans on board for it. Now, I'm a moderate, and I'm all for, you know, helping out regular people and all, but we already have, we just passed the COVID, you know, help, which we already gave a lot of Americans help. But as far as, like, to give the IRS more power over regular folks, I mean, that's not a good idea. We've already been through a lot as far as COVID for the 2020. It was a really bad year. And people probably haven't been up to date with their taxes and all, but I'm all for, you know, for the corporations to start paying their part because they've actually had a free ride for the last 4 years with the Trump administration. But to start giving the IRS more power over regular folks is not a good idea. And let's keep it to where at least maybe we'll get some Republicans on board to vote for it if we could keep it to just infrastructure.
Joe, thanks a lot for that call. With that idea Joe has, keep it more stripped down, straight up infrastructure. Have you heard, Amanda, Democrats, maybe in the Senate, some of the famous, some more moderate Democrats, making that point? Like, hey, maybe we can get something bipartisan if we do what Joe said there.
So one thing I wanted to clarify, the IRS, Biden doesn't want to give the IRS more power to over enforcement of regular people. It's enforcement over corporations specifically. So I wanted to make that clear. And yes, I think, you know, what I think that point is going to be something we do hear from more moderate Democrats in the Senate. I'm thinking specifically, obviously, of Joe Manchin, who tends to, obviously, he tends to be a little bit more conservative and I think would be far more supportive and has made clear that he wants the Biden administration to try to find Republican votes and to make a package bipartisan. I think a lot of Democrats, though, are skeptical that Republicans will ever support anything that Biden does because they are more interested in obstruction and winning back the White House and don't want to necessarily go along with this. So the question is, you know, how much time and how much give do you do to try to win Republican votes, potentially, you know, wasting your time and not getting anything. And I think Obama learned this lesson. He spent a lot of time trying to win over Republican votes that just never materialized. And Biden obviously watched this happen when he was in, when he was vice president. And so and there are a lot of people who work in the Biden White House who were part of the Obama administration as well. And their conclusion, they've said this over and over, is that the risk is not going too small. The risk is not going too big. It's going too small.
Thanks for the call, Joe. We'll go to Will next in Eau Claire. Will, hello.
Hi, folks. Thanks for taking my call. I think that the guest's last points were a good one. I think that the Biden administration is in a unique, timely position, similar roughly to Roosevelt in the 30s. I think he should put as much as he can in there. It's going to help average folks, you know, that's his intent, and not count on Republicans at all. They've been very obstructionist in the last several years. So that is what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Well, thanks for the call. And I've heard some things from President Biden, Amanda, that that suggests that he is thinking of the precedent of the New Deal and wanting to do something sort of on that scope in 2021.
Yes, absolutely. We have heard FDR and a sort of the New Deal invoked quite a bit. And, you know, Biden has made the case, you know, Biden obviously ran as a more moderate Democrat, but he has made the case that now is the time to go bigger, you know, to go big in addressing the COVID crisis. His slogan is Build Back Better. And so his administration, you know, again, they really watched a lot of what happened in the Obama administration when Obama put forward ideas that were bigger, that were maybe clawed back even before Republicans objected, just because they wanted to try to win Republican votes. So they said, let's not go as big. And they saw that ultimately it was futile because Republicans weren't going to sign on. And so, you know, having control of the White House, the House, and the Senate, that doesn't come along much. And so I think that, you know, they know that could be gone and you know, that could be gone in a couple of years. And so they are trying to do what they can now.
Thanks for the call. Let's bring on one more caller on infrastructure and related topics. Gary is with us in Brookfield. Gary, hi.
Hi. Hey, the question or comment I wanted to make, and your guest will, I'm sure, echo this, is that in the reduction for the corporate tax rate, all the Republicans could talk about was the fact that the U.S. corporate tax rate was one of the highest in the world. But that's the statutory rate. The effective rate, or the actual rate that corporations paid in America, was substantially less than that, as evidenced by, you know, Amazon paying no tax. So, you know, what they really have to stop talking about, the fact that they're going to up the corporate tax rate, it's really not going to affect corporations. Because of all the advantages that they have, the effective tax rate that they pay is already very low.
Gary, thanks for the call. Amanda, is that part of what the Biden team is talking about, not just raising that the statutory tax rate, but the effective tax rate in part through the enforcement you were talking about?
I think that gets at the enforcement part. And, you know, I think that, you know, obviously, like I said, the Chamber of Commerce is against this infrastructure plan in large part because of the taxes. You know, the Republican Party has traditionally had a lot of support in the business community. But I think right now, you know, with the economy, what it is, with people struggling over the last year of the pandemic, there's not a lot of support from people feeling sorry for corporations, especially as I think, you know, we've seen story after story, statistic after statistic of corporations getting wealthier, of, you know, the wealthy getting wealthier and just the income gap widening. And so, you know, it will be interesting to see if this, you know, blows back on Republicans at all. But, you know, my guess is Republicans will try to spin this a little bit differently than simply showing sympathy for corporations.
Thanks for that call. It's The Week in Washington. We're talking to Amanda Turkle from HuffPost. Let's move on now. Amanda, you wrote a piece on the Biden administration, its goal to not deport kids as they arrive at the border seeking asylum, and the challenges they're facing living up to that goal. What are you seeing?
Right. So the Biden administration has tried to take a slightly different tactic than the Trump administration, which cited the COVID pandemic and said that we are turning, basically not letting any undocumented immigrants into the country to wait out their immigration proceedings. We're turning everyone back, and that includes unaccompanied children. The Biden administration, for the record, is still turning people away. They're letting in some families, but they are allowing children who come here without their parents to stay. And so what happens is that you come in, you are at a detention facility, then you are transferred to a shelter while you await going to stay with a sponsor or a family member. The problem is right now, there are just too many people coming in and they don't have the capacity to quickly move them from these border patrol facilities over to shelters, which are run by HHS, and then, you know, to the next step of being placed with a sponsor or family. And so there's this buildup at the border. They're incredibly crowded detention facilities. And Republicans see this as a moment when they can sort of get some political hay, say that Biden is being, you know, his rhetoric is too kind and too humane, and he's encouraging undocumented immigrants to come over, and he's creating this crisis. The Biden administration is saying, you know, that's not true. You know, yes, we're not trying to be like Trump on immigration, but this is not a crisis of our doing. This is something that the numbers started going up under the Trump administration, which is actually true. And they said that, you know, we're trying as quickly as possible to move people from these detention facilities into this, the next stages. But, you know, it is something that's getting increased attention from the Biden administration. And Vice President Kamala Harris was recently named to lead the sort of the diplomatic efforts to try to stem some of this migration.
I want to give a listen to President Biden in a press conference last week, asked about the overcrowding of shelters, saying, putting some of the blame on President Trump. Here's a listen.
He, in fact, shut down the number of beds available. He did not fund HHS to get people to get the children out of those Border Patrol facilities where they should not be and not supposed to be more than a few days, a little while. But he dismantled all of that. And so what we're doing now is attempting to rebuild the system that can accommodate the what is happening today.
But as you wrote in your piece, Amanda, it seemed like the Biden administration was in some ways surprised by the extent of the problem, the difficulty they were having in finding places for these kids.
Right. So if you talk to the Biden administration, they're saying they're not surprised at all. They knew that this was going to be a problem. They did everything they could to get ready for it. But there was only so much they could do because the Trump administration did not cooperate with them on the transition. You know, as soon as they took office, they did what they could. But the Trump administration also reduced the number of beds that were available because of the restrictions they had in place. And so getting these things back up and running just takes time. You know, Biden's critics and honestly, even some of his allies say that, you know, a lot of the criticism directed at Biden is unfair. But they do think that they didn't realize how difficult it was going to be and could have perhaps done more. Could have talked about it differently and could have had a little bit more urgency in addressing this problem.
We'll leave it there. Amanda, thanks for joining us again.
Thank you.
Amanda Turkle is Washington Bureau Chief for HuffPost. She joined us for our weekly look at some of the top stories in national politics, including President Biden's $2 trillion plan to address infrastructure problems, as well as climate change and inequality in the U.S.